So let's head on over to the cage. You ready, Charles?
Ooh, I'm ready, and I'll tell you now, spoiler alert, it's going to be feedbacky. Feedbacky. Welcome, everybody, to your weekly Treeplex The Cage with Charles. This is where we talk about that wrestling love, right? That wrestling love we have, but what do we always put out there, Francisco? Couple of disclaimers. Now, disclaimer, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It is a song. It is dance. It is poetry in motion. It's a stage fight. It's stage brutality for fatalities. It's a story about men and women chasing championships. It is about, you know, men and women just want to beat the crap out of each other. Men and women want to change their perceptions of the wrestling world to all the fan bases. Everything that you can think of, it is. It is united. It is bonding. Football players like wrestling. NBA players like wrestling. NHL players like wrestling. Lawyers like wrestling. And you will too eventually. Big stuff that we're talking about. There was a pay-per-view over the weekend. AEW, All Elite Wrestling, Revolution. That's going to be a lot of bread and butter. The only reason why I'm kind of going to is to get everybody, the two people that are listening, invested into it, to gloss over a few things. New Japan doing their New Japan or their Japan Cup. As you know, whoever wins that gets to challenge Kota Ibushi for the now unified titles, which is now the New Japan World Heavyweight Championship. As I know, matches that happened, I believe Tomohiro Ishii won against Sonata. Sonata won. They're still going through certain of the brackets. I watched some of it. I don't have New Japan World. I might because, you know, WWE is being a pain in the butt for a second, but their user interface is always kind of tough. But I'm always excited for these tournaments, even though they have it there. Prediction, because April 4th is going to come around a lot closer. I think the finals are done around mid-March or the end of March. So I'll just make my prediction now. It's going to be Shingo Takagi. I believe Shingo Takagi is going to go against Kenta. Next round, they have Jeff Cobb versus Evil, which should be interesting. Evil's done, basically, so let's see if we can give Jeff Cobb his momentum, give you the tour of the islands, as they say. I'm a big Jeff Cobb guy just because he looks like a bulky dude. I love it. But those are always kind of a good watcher. What I send you some, guys, I sent you the one of Minoru Suzuki being the hell out of a I don't know people's names. I have like a Hispanic name. You think I would pronounce it? I watch anime. You think I could pronounce some Japanese names? You are wrong, good sir. If your name's not Paul or Brad or Jennifer, I am screwed with half of the people. It is like Hooked on Phonics that I'm trying to go on. But you can get some good exhibition matches because to give you a little bit of a differentiation between that and American wrestling, I would say, aside from the heavy hitting or the endurance test that some of these matches are, it's more about the storytelling in the ring and the exhaustion of like going to war. That's where the stage fight concept comes from in my end. Whereas American wrestling is a little bit more of the entertainment aspect. WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. All Elite Wrestling will one day call themselves All Entertainment Wrestling 20 years from now when they're existing in a big powerhouse. We'll talk about that in a second for sure. But that's a little bit thing I want to talk about in New Japan, unfolding, as they say. But my prediction right now, Shingo Takagi, because I was right about the G1 climax, was I not? I said Kota. I had Kota and Sonata at the finals. I don't think it was exactly that, but I'm running a good heater. I like to say I know myself. I said Edge was a dark horse. He won the Royal Rumble. I'm going to run with this dude. Let me have this. Let me have my moment. WWE, Road to WrestleMania. Fastlane still has not defined itself. Some bad storylines. Bobby Lashley got a badass new entrance as the Almighty Era began. It's all probably going to be for now when he loses to Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania because, you know, Vince hates me. He just hates me. Like, Bobby Lashley, look at the man. It's basically what you think Adonis looks like. He has like this little orange lightning coming out of his entrance. He's just a badass. He has MVP doing his mic work. We love it. Let the world see this man's graciousness. And I like the story that he went 16 years of hard work to finally get back to title. Left the company, came back. And damn it, man, does that WWE championship just look fitting on him? Doesn't it? It totally does. Plus, him having the main belt makes the stable look good because Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin have the Raw tag team titles. Haven't been doing anything with it. I'm not crazy about it. Calling prediction right now, Viking Raiders come back and take those titles off of them because not everybody can hold a belt for a long time. But Lord Jesus, whoever's out there, Spanish voodoo powers, convince Vincent Kennedy McMahon to not have this specimen that is Bobby Lashley lose the damn title to Drew McIntyre again. I can't deal with Drew having the title three times in 1 year. You're a weak champion, in my opinion. you're averaging a title reign for each 4 months, but you're not doing anything, even though it's been longer. Point being, don't devalue the title anymore. Look at this hulking specimen. Let him hold on to it for a little bit longer. NXT is a must watch tomorrow. It's a must watch because you have not one, but two titles being defended. And here's the thing about NXT. They have a little bit more pay-per-views than AEW does. But man, have they been delivering on free television. Because last week, I'm going to give the shout out now. Finn Balor versus Roddy Strong, because you know they're all part of the same storyline where Finn pseudo led to the Undisputed Era breaking up. You know, Adam Cole, the one super kicked everybody. Shout out right now. Finn Balor, Roderick Strong, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. I couldn't stand up after the match was done. I was afraid I was going to poke one of my dog's eyes out. It was just fantastic to watch two great technical wrestlers who know how to strike, to hold, to storytell. Just beautiful. And at the very end, Adam Cole comes out because what's tomorrow? Adam Cole versus Finn Balor, number three. They met twice. Once when Adam Cole was champion and there was some interference and then he retained the title over Finn Balor. Second time is when, remember, there was the we did a watch special of it when there was the Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match for the vacant title back in September. And then they kind of teased us too hard and they had to be a draw between Adam Cole and Finn Balor and they wrestled the next week. And Finn Balor won. Well, Finn's been holding on to it. And even though I don't imagine Adam Cole to win, we're getting probably the return of Kyle O'Reilly from his injury. Screw over Adam Cole. Set some things in place. It's all about storytelling. But the guys can go. They have good chemistry. The mic work has been decent. The storytelling, the I want to beat you up kind of stuff, that's what you need. As for the glory, that's why Adam Cole destroyed his whole group, his stable, his boys, because of the fact that he wants that gold around Finn Balor's shoulder. That's beautiful to me. That's good storytelling. It's basically, you know, power corrupts, right? Absolute power corrupts. This is how I look at it as. And the other title that's being defended, Io Shirai going against Toni Storm for the Women's NXT Championship. As I talked about in the last TakeOver review, you had Io versus Toni versus Mercedes Martinez. Well, now there's no Mercedes in the picture. They went on to a Rolls Royce kind of business. Ha ha ha, car pun, I'm funny. I think it should be a banger of a match if you give it a good 15, 20 minutes. This is what I hate about television matches, though, for the championships. Them commercials are going to ruin one of those matches. They're going to ruin it. And I'm hoping it ruins Adam versus Finn instead of Io versus Toni, because I've seen what Adam and Finn can do. So there's certain points that you can kind of take a break from. Because here's the thing. They're not always kind of giving a heads up in the ring of like, oh, there's a TV break, or they go in picture in picture. So you may not just be missing headlocks or arm locks. You might be missing some real foundational stuff, because I want to see what Io and Toni can do, because they've wrestled against each other in the Mae Young Classic. That's all fine and dandy. That's like 3 years ago. You have new personas. You have new abilities. You have new everything. Let's make it good. Moving forward, there was a pay-per-view over the weekend. I did not watch it. But I watched a hell of a lot of clips on YouTube and tweets, because I am poor, even though I'm not poor, but I'm poor. And I can't, Francisco, I can't justify paying $50 for a pay-per-view anymore. I don't do it in boxing. I don't do it in UFC fighting. I can't do it in wrestling. I'll do it in gaming, but I get hours of longevity. And I don't even play those games fully, right? I just buy them so they can collect dust. But with the WWE Network, which is now going to Peacock, and we'll do that for a different segment because next week will be the transition, so I'll give you guys like my input on it the week after, because there's going to be some issues. I'll just say it right now. But $10 a month I would pay for a pay-per-view. $50 is too outrageous. But there was AEW Revolution, and I was just streaming that stuff to you for the most part in the chat about like crazy stuff that happened. So I'm going to kind of take it from the top to kind of do to the best ability, because I did, I won't say pirate, but I will say I found ways to watch majority of matches. So I'm just going to kind of go on through until I get to the big
part. You hopped on Reddit and just visited some boards.
Oh, yeah. You know, on some stuff. So Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF. AEW Tag Team Championships are on the line. Pretty standard, generic wrestling match. Wasn't bad. I would say the storyline is that Jericho and MJF beat up Papa Buck, as I call him. He's called everywhere, really. The Young Bucks' father. And they got their revenge. Young Bucks beat them clean. 1, 2, 3, that's it. Match was good. The problem with AEW is that what's your big picture? Because if you're utilizing all this to break up the inner circle, which you already have Sammy Guevara, believe, now you're just left with Proud and Powerful, Santana and Ortiz. You're left with Jake Hager. You're left with Jericho. You're left with MGF and Wardlow, who had to join because that was a match at a different pay-per-view that they had. I don't know if it was pay-per-view or if it was Beach Bash. It's so many stuff, too much wrestling going on. I can't do everything at once and remember everything, guys. But if we're just doing this to kind of push forward a bigger story that didn't necessarily need a title, because what have I been complaining about for the longest time? My whole thing is saying that we need to see what the young upstarts can do to be put over instead of doing this big cross-brand invasion. That's all you've been hearing me talk about for AEW for a couple weeks. So now I'm glad that I have some material to really go on. But tag team match was fine. Nothing bad. Casino Tag Team Royale. Oof. I like the winners. Pac and Phoenix doing, or Pac and Phoenix. I'm thinking Tupac, obviously. You know where my roots are. They're part of Death Triangle. They won the Casino Tag Team Royale. What that means is they get a number one contenders match in the future against the Young Bucks. They might win it. That'd be surprising, even though I think the Lucha Bros, which is Rey Fénix and his brother El Pento Zero M, because God knows he's got so many different names. I just call him Penta, are actual tag team brothers, but whatever. It's fine. He was in a different match that was actually pretty decent but funny. You saw the botch that I sent you, right? Of Jungle Boy eliminating Evil Uno by doing a Hurricanrana off the top, and Evil Uno was not in position, and he ran to the steel post to force himself to be eliminated. Just type in Evil Uno, and people will know. I like Evil Uno. Follow us on Twitter.
Let's see because, if I can find it on here. Yeah. At least.
It was not necessarily a good look, because ideally what happened is part of these guys are the indies, and the indie ways kind of get stuck with you, where if a mistake happens, you're not hoping for a noticeable mistake
I don't know if you see occur. This practical joke.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching it right now. Yeah. Okay, you know, make it look good. But these guys need to learn how to improvise, because if you're looking on the screen, he was in the middle of the ring compared to where the actual post was. So he basically, instead of just taking the bump and look like he got hurricanrana'd off into the middle and fell to get eliminated, he basically, it does not connect. It doesn't move his body fully. It doesn't get the right trajectory. And he basically, Usainian bolts it all the way into the post. So it's like, damn, man, here we go. That's bad. That is no bueno. It just didn't fit. It was Marco Stunt, not Jungle Boy, sorry. But this is what the people like Tom Segura, who thinks that you're an idiot if you watch wrestling, has his validation on. And he's right.
No wonder.
I enjoyed it.
I saw some like tweets like, oh man, rest in peace to the people who paid $50 for this.
Yeah, it was very divisive this looks like, between people.
This looks like a video game character glitched out.
I wouldn't even say it's that. Evil Uno, I love you. I follow him on Twitter. But it's not his fault, right? It's the whole idea that we got to train these guys to be kind of more. And mind you, Uno's been probably doing this for decades, close to it. But it's the whole mantra of, let's not make it seem like it's children at play. Let's make it seem like it's pros, because that's not a good look, man. You and I both know that's not good. Moving on, we had Hikaru Shida versus Ryu Mizunami. That's right. My Hero Academia paying off. So remember, there was a women's eliminator tournament where you had the women's in the U.S. meeting up, going against matches, and against the women in Japan meeting up, going against matches, and whoever wins against Hikaru Shida, who is the AEW's women's championship. I was wrong. I thought it was going to be Dana Rosa. Obviously, it wasn't Thunder Rosa. It was Ryu Mizunami. I don't know anything about her. I can't say I know anything about her. I don't know everything coming into it. The match was a little stiff and slow, but then kind of build up into it, and Shida won. Who is the woman that's going to win this title off this lady? And I like Shida. You know, aside from being a fighting champion, there's stuff that's appealing about her because her wrestling level is a bit advanced compared to some of the other people who are still green. But if it's Thunder Rosa, why are we delaying the inevitable? It could be because of her contract for NWA, which is a small program, National Wrestling Alliance. Used to be a big thing in the 80s and early 90s. But if she's only contractually obligated to have shows and not actually win the main belts, because maybe that is something that's in that nature and defend multiple titles, then that kind of sucks. But when she came into AEW, she was still holding the NWA championship, and then she lost it to Serena Deeb who used to be a former producer or trainer at the WWE. But the match was fine. Interested to see what they do, if they keep a lot of these women that wrestled over in Japan to stay to help out, like Rio or Mako Itani. I think that's how you say her name. She's an interesting character. I know a lot of people are into her. I don't know enough about her. And that's the whole thing, too. When you're introducing people that nobody knows, how can we help get the build for these people to matter? Because remember, it's the personalities. It's if this person's great, tell me why it's great. Because if not, you're gonna have the Vince McMahon effect where he's like, they're great. And you're like, we're Vince, you pushed them, but we don't know anything about them. What is that we can do? It kind of makes me wish that you had better one-on-one sit downs, but not everybody's a good speaker. So if you did like one-on-one interviews with them, kind of like UFC or boxing, rumor, you're playing yourself, right? When you're UFC or if you're boxing, if you're Mike Tyson, you're like, I'm going to beat you up and then I'm going to take you in the back. And you're like, oh, crap, no. Or Conor McGregor, who just runs his mouth. It's more authentic because you're not playing a character. They are who they are. People beat people up and maybe they're criminals, you know, look at their track record. But with wrestlers, sometimes it's not really who they are. It's a persona that they created. Think Joker from Persona 5. There you go, kids. We're still cool. We're still relevant. But I want to see AEW women's be better, and not like I'm enjoying really much about what's going on WWE women's wrestling, because aside from NXT and Io Shirai, Asuka's doing nothing. We love Asuka. God damn it, we love Asuka. Vince just doesn't know what to do with her. Part of it's because, you know, English speaking skills. So Vince, do something about it. Help her. I don't know, or write something. I can't deal with her losing to Charlotte Flair all the time. Don't do this to me. I'll cancel WrestleMania, I promise. Miro versus Kip Sabian, Orange Cassidy, and Chuck Taylor. Next. I like me some Miro, formerly known as Rusev. The guy is cut. He bulked himself up better. He is an animal. He loves video games. He does Twitch streams. He's funny. I love me some Orange Cassidy. He is Ryan Gosling in the wrestling world. I love Chuck Taylor. Follow Chuck Taylor. He's a funny dude. And Trent, who is part of the best friend tag teams, Kip's okay, not my guy. But I don't care about these feuds. Why? Because you look at Miro. Why is this man? And you have a very low main event talent, I would feel, in AEW. I think part of the problem is because they want to elevate both the TNT mid-card, and I call it mid-card, even though Cody would punch me in the mouth for it, versus the main event stuff, but there has to be structure. Miro, for all intents and purposes, should not be feuding with Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor. Miro right now should be feuding with Jon Moxley or something of that nature to help elevate and put over. He has experience. He knows how to work the TV. I understand it's everybody has to take everybody and help everybody. And we all love each other, but at the end of the day, it's, don't tell anybody this, Francisco, but you get paid for wins and losses, right? So someone's got to lose. Not everybody can have 50-50 booking. And sometimes big behemoths of men like Miro, formerly known as Rusev, can't always eat the pin. So, you know, I mean, he won. They did it. He got it with not the Colossus anymore, but the game over. But part of it is not even just winning the match, but also about just having to be in this kind of a storyline. I don't know. It's weird booking, but they won. That's cool. No one looks bad for losing. Next match, Adam Hangman Page versus Matt Hardy in the big money match. What was the condition of the clause? If whoever loses gets the proceeds. That's done. That's cool. That's fine. The biggest come around from it, Page wins. We like Page. He gets Hardy's first quarter earnings. It brings the Dark Order and Adam Hangman Page back together. You know, this is a storyline that I've been following for a while. I've been sending it to you guys because wrestling is kind of funny. And it's a little bit of comedy, but it's also kind of romance because it is a soap opera as well. So it was about the Dark Order trying to get Hangman to join their organization because they're all buddies and they love him and he doesn't be with them. And it was the most heartbreaking thing. You saw that. You cried a little bit, Francisco. You have a heart. The internet cried for it. And now, after the match was done, they're looking at him, John Silver, Alex Reynolds. They're looking at Hangman. Hangman's looking at this, and they're all just accepting each other. They have a little bit of a couple cowboy brewskis. I might have wept. I didn't cry. But it's a good stability. I think it helps solidify the Dark Order's face turn, especially after they went through losing Brody Lee, which I'm still not over. That's not easy. Watch the Big E documentary. They have like a 5-minute snippet of Huber and what he did. But it's a good step in the next step for them. Because why? Not now, but I feel 5 months from now, this whole Dark Order helping out Hangman Adam Page. There's another page coming up, so that's why I'm getting confused. It's going to mean something when I think he challenges Kenny Omega for that AEW World Heavyweight Championship. We'll talk about that in a second. Face of the Revolution ladder match. Whoever wins the ladder match wins an opportunity to win the TNT title. It was fine. They have Ethan Page, all ego. as the secret guy coming into it. He was part of the North on Impact with his tag team partner, Joshua Alexander, Joshua Reynolds, one of the two. There's too many wrestlers. Let me be, guys. You guys got to get more unique names. I think that's why Vince changed everything. Regardless, say Ethan Page is a decent wrestler. It was something that was a good tag team wrestler. Now his contract expired. The match itself was weird because they weren't grabbing a briefcase. They obviously were not grabbing a title. What were they grabbing? A literal brass ring.
Sonic.
That's why, exactly. So it was no doubt that the guy who had to come out was Sonic the Hedgehog or possibly Knuckles, because I think he'd be fairly suited for a ladder match, but he wasn't. Scorpio Sky won. Yay. I like Scorpio Sky. He will go on to face Darby Allin at some point. I think that will be good. Penta did a Canadian Destroyer on a Cody on a ladder. That was interesting. Lance Archer didn't do anything really. Max Caster is bleh. I'm not about his style. I think he's okay. I think here's the thing about me. I think everybody's good in all forms of wrestling. Because sometimes I feel like you might be good as a talent in the ring, but you might not be good on the mic, or vice versa. There's only a few people that are just legitimately bad, and I'll tell you if you're bad. Walter Sullivan's bad. That's why he's not in the company anymore, amongst so many other reasons. But there's some people that were just not necessarily good. But Max Caster, maybe I need to see more out of you. Right now, his tag team partner is AJ, so from that. But look at that brass ring. It's like a donut. The biggest surprise, but it was predicted. Christian is now with All Elite Wrestling under Christian Cage, which was his Impact Wrestling name. So Christian came back at the Royal Rumble. They had that moment where he hugged Edge. I was very, you know, sad and emotional, and I cried. It was beautiful. But now he's on AEW, which I kind of predict would happen because Christian didn't get the proper send-off. And remember, wrestling is an addiction. It's an addiction. You're about it. If you're a wrestler, you're on the road. You go on it until you can't go anymore. I feel like this is a meaningful thing for three wrestlers we're going to talk about right now. It's the same thing for Edge, who had all those neck surgeries and was out for 9 years and came back. It's the same thing for Christian, who I believe suffered a concussion and it couldn't get back into it a couple of years ago. And that also means for Sting, who was also on this pay-per-view. And when you're an addict, you're always up to slip up again, right? But they are addicted to the thrill. They're addicted to the crowd. They're addicted to the persona. It's a beautiful thing that came in there. So he's back. The rumor, or not rumor, but more verification, was that he wanted to wrestle more full-time instead of part-time. And that's true. Because Vince in WWE, if he signed, would have just made him a part-time attraction. And not just a part-time attraction, but he would probably have him either teaming up with Edge and not giving Christian his own individual run. And here's the thing about Christian. He is a two-time World Heavyweight Champion for the WWE. Granted, there might be sentimental because they gave it to him after Edge retired, but still means something. And two, he was a good singles champion when he went to TNA. He was a TNA champion, world champion. They had like five titles there, so don't quote me exactly what they were, but he won a good portion of it. So he has that right to kind of earn his keep and show what he can do as a solo wrestler. And I can't blame him for only wanting to come back for maybe three matches a year. And here's the more important thing. Edge has won a match when he came back in singles. I cannot guarantee that Christian would win a singles match. You know what I mean? Maybe one. But it wouldn't be like a title-defining moment or even a career-defining moment. So good on Christian. This is almost the same thing as the Big Show turning, which I didn't even talk about last week because too much happened in wrestling. But yeah, Big Show is now on All Elite Wrestling. He's not Big Show anymore. He's Paul White. It feels kind of dirty on that one because you're with the company for 22 years and then you leave. But he sees himself still as a competitor. Vince didn't see anything for him. Really, the last thing I remember that he did was put Braun over. That was about it. So good for Paul White. And then there was the Sting, Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks match. That was a street fight, but it was in a warehouse. Brian Cage is ridiculously strong. As you see what my problem is, there's too many pages and there's too many cages, right? maybe I should just change the name of the show to Page and Cage. Brian Cage is ridiculously strong. He is like Wolverine if Wolverine grew like 8 inches, because in comic books, Wolverine was like 5'3". And jacked. Well, Brian Cage like held Darby Allin up in a suplex going up a stairs. And listen, your boy here, I would have a hard time just like trying to squat 300 and pull from the floor 300 back in the day when I went to the gym and pumped some iron. So Darby Allin's not the heaviest of guy, but to have the control and the pacing to go up. And mind you, it was pre-recorded. So it's harder, right? That kind of thing anyway. But you still have to give him props because wrestling is also a stunt show, right? So it was interesting to say the least. I'll keep this things back. I think these are the only matches he really could do. He's 62. I can't see him doing a live match without getting too gassed or possibly hurting himself further. But he was able to get the pin off of Ricky Starks, which is fine. This is my thing, man. I don't think cinematic matches should have commentary, especially when this was kind of built up as a blood feud. I know what you're saying, but Charles, the cameras and recording, like, I get it. But there's something about hearing Jim Ross, who just got to go. Poor guy. He's just got to go. His voice is cracking. In a very intense scene, just commentary. It's like listening to the director's cut of a movie like The Warriors. Old film. You guys should go see it. That's where the phrase, can you dig it, sucker? Can you dig it? I'm thinking, can you dig it, sucker? Because I think of Booker T. But it ruins the effect a little bit. I think right there on that tweet, Brian Cage is strong, man. If you click on that, they'll show him. Like, look at that. What is this? I aspire to do that.
Dear my God.
Because that's still like, and also good on Darby Allin, because that works your core right there. Like, he holds him and then just slams him down. Look at that, man. But this is also kind of part of my problem as a wrestling fan, is that Brian Cage, when you look at that physique, shouldn't necessarily be losing to Darby Allin, right? And he has in the past. So sometimes you need logical booking versus imaginary booking. You got to find that balance. You got to find that balance. How Bobby Lashley, we were talking about him finally becoming champ. You got to look at that where Brian Cage, even though he's the FTW, F the World champion that Taz gave him, doesn't mean it's anything, right? Moving on to the last match of the night, the most controversial match. The AEW Championship is on the line. Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley. As you know, they wrestled twice prior. They had the, I think it was at Double or Nothing. It's been a while. I got to get my pay-per-view straight. They met before, lights out match, unsanctioned. Moxley won. They met recently when Moxley was still AEW champion at Winter is Coming, to which started the whole, I'm going to call it debacle because I'm not a fan of it. The foreign door is open kind of thing, or the unopened door, forbidden door. I call it the foreign door because foreign promotions is open, where everybody kind of comes in and subject everybody else with talent to being under the radar. So they're going against each other in the rematch. It's a blood feud. It's an exploding barbed wire death match. That's a mouthful to say. Charles, exploding death matches, very popular into Japan. Doesn't work a lot. ECW tried to do it a couple times. It failed with Balls Mahoney. There was a lot of blood. There was a lot of gore. For the snippets that I saw, I did not mind it. I actually found that anytime there was a use of an explosion was the tacky part because it just looked like stuntman pyro. But the use of the barbed wire, the use of the barbed wire bats, Kenny throwing pocket sand, basically, Dale gribbling it into John's eyes. Here we go. I loved it because Kenny's a heel. This is supposed to be dirty. This is supposed to be anything goes. I think the ref dressing up like the Willy Wonka factory or Mr. White is great. But you look at those pyrotechnics that, yeah, and listen, wrestling is escapism, the same way the movie theaters was. You know, we say was because God knows I'm not going to a movie theater for a while. But it's not something that makes me think too crazy. I've had, like, you know, the fissures of a bottle rocket. It doesn't really hurt that guy. It's not like it's M80 blowing up your hands or Black Cat.
Yeah.
But the barbed wire, I don't know how I feel about death matches. How much gore do you want? Because if I say it's a stage fight and I say it's about men and women beating the hell out of each other and hating each other, this verifies it. But not everybody can stand the gruesomeness of it. But if it's a fight, it's a natural production because it's hypocritical when I think fans are like, oh, it's not my style of wrestling, I don't like it. But if you watch boxing, there's dudes who are bleeding from the mouth, cut on the eye, gruesome cuts too. Like, if you've seen the cuts that come from being jabbed repeatedly over and over again, it is disgusting, man. It is like a horror movie. And then UFC fighting, you know, how you see people get their nose busted up and broken. So I appreciate wrestlers who are willing to bleed and almost die for me at the end of the day. The same way I'll appreciate Jeff Hardy, who's not my favorite wrestler, but Jeff will die in that ring for my entertainment. I will appreciate Jon Moxley for basically going crimson for me, and Kenny Omega. Kenny wins. There was interference because there's always interference. What I will give Moxley as the coolest way to protect a finisher, when I say protect a finisher, makes it, you know, not kick out. It's so powerful. It's like the end all be all. It's the final flash, it's a Kamehameha wave, all that stuff coming into it, is that Kenny did the one winged angel, which is basically a, what did I say, it's a Samoan driver? Yeah, it's a Samoan driver onto Mox, and Mox didn't have the energy to kick out. So what he did was he put his foot on the rope to cause an explosion to break the count. I thought that was ingenious coming into it. But it ends with the Good Brothers, Gallows Anderson, coming in. Where are they at? Impact. Who are they? Kenny's former boys from New Japan coming in, interfering. Moxley has the barbed wire bat. He's hitting everybody, hitting their back, doing whatever. And then Kenny gets an exploding barbed wire bat, hits it on Moxley, hits Moxley in the face, covers him, kicks out, and then does the one wing angel one more time. And then he gets the win. Kenny retains it. And then what was the whole stipulation? Kenny was like, oh, you have to do this between 30. Here we go. We see Eddie Kingston. We always mention Eddie Kingston every week. Eddie, you are a talent on the mic. Follow us on Twitter. Come join us on our show. So the whole thing was Kenny was like, the ring is going to blow up, because this was all Kenny's idea. He's like, the ring is going to blow up. There was a countdown going on 30 minutes. And then what happened was very bad. And this is where I'm going to try to condense all that to like 5 minutes, because Eddie Kingston, who, remember, him and Moxley had a pay-per-view match against each other for that title, where he basically said, I sold my soul for a little bit of gold to get a title shot at Moxley. And he was unsuccessful, didn't obtain it, goes out there pushing off the people that what he was supporting, Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny. He's like, get the hell off of me. I got to run to help my friend. He goes in there, doesn't know how to get Mox up from the handcuffs, gets on top of him to pull your best Saving Private Ryan. And then, Jesus Christ, Francisco, it just sparklers at the end.
Yeah, it was on here earlier in the cage here, but somebody's got the tweet. I fixed the ending for you with a much more convincing explosion and from Hollywood.
But that's the thing is that Nicolas Cage movie. Con Air. It ruins. We can feel it in the air tonight. Oh Lord, oh Lord. It ruins like Eddie's heel turn in my. Oh, I'm sorry, face turn in my opinion. It was just terrible. And I understand Tony Khan going and saying, well, what did you want me to do? Like blow the guy up? You know, there's only so much we could do. But this is when you have to learn to call an audible. This is where you have to learn to be creatively controlled as opposed to free and not have everybody interfering. There's rumors that Kenny Omega was upset about this because Kenny is an executive in the organization. And they even went so far as taking off the tweets of showing the videos. Like they used DMCA or whatever it is, Digital Medium Millennium Act, whatever. I can't say it fully because I was researching it, but of course I don't write now. I should really write notes. Basically, you were taking off some stuff there, but imagine you're paying $50 for this and then you get the sparklers. And what ruins it is that Eddie's selling it like it's bombs dropping off. Excalibur, the other announcers, they're selling it like it's the worst. And you don't even have maybe the better way to solidify like Kenny's heelish behaviors, have him and Don Callis come out laughing, saying, you're an idiot. You really thought I was going to do that? Ha ha ha, joke's on you. Something like that. Not a single bit of it. It just goes to the end. And at the very end, after the match, Moxley gets on the mic and says, boy, I tell you, you know, Kenny is a tough SOB, but he sucks at blowing up a ring. And the thing about Mox is he was in WWE for a while, so he understands about the whole, like, you know, never leave them kind of on this kind of level. And then Bully Ray, who is the former Bubba Ray for, you know, the Dudley Bros or the Dudley Boys. I don't know. There's too much going on. Devon Dudley, Bubba Ray, Dudley, all this stuff, because he went through a lot of different names. And so my brain hits at one point like electricity. He quotes Vince McMahon on Twitter, and he says, never leave. Vince says, the only thing they remember is the finish. Boy, were they right. Were they right on this one? Because they talk about the finish of a match and the finish of a card. And I think about WWE's big blunder, two big blunders. And they both involve The Fiend. And what do I remember is Hell in a Cell 2019. There were some great matches that were on that card. But what do I remember? Seth Rollins winning but getting disqualified in a Hell in a Cell match because he used a sledgehammer on The Fiend to beat The Fiend. So what? So he loses in a no DQ match? Same equivalent to what do I remember in the Saudi pay-per-view of The Fiend losing to Goldberg. That's what you remember. So to have this match, it was very good. Lose on something like that or end on something like that hurt. And also that's how you ended your pay-per-view. Very split. Everybody thought it was lame or stupid or uncreative. I think that hurts, man, because the pay-per-views have not been as consistent. The matches, there's been some matches that are good, but when you pay $50 a month, you want top to bottom, you know, finesse. Great stuff, quality, like Taco Bell. Instead, what we got was the Walmart bean burritos that you would just pay and, you know, buy and go put them in the microwave. They're not even gas station burritos, which are sometimes okay. Listen, I'm just going to say it right now. They're not bad. But you're talking about those one, the El Taco kind of ones that you have to get at Walmart, that you get a whole bundle for like $4 for a pack of 24 when you're a young starving law student and you don't have money to buy real food. I've been there. It fills you up, but it doesn't really leave a pleasant taste in your mouth. And that's what I got for you in this very long extended Revolution edition of The Cage with exploding barbed wire.
All right. Okay, well then.
What are your thoughts? Because that was you saw Little Fizzle. Does it not make wrestling a little bit more comical than it should be unintentionally?
Yeah, that looks like somebody did not have enough money when they headed over to the fireworks shop. That's all they could afford.
Can I make you laugh? One thing, Vince McMahon trolled them last night on Raw because they, they're continuing that feud with Alexa Bliss and The Fiend and Randy Orton. So she had Pyro come up at the end of the match, and I thought that was like a great, F you at the end of the way to go for it, because they were doing. It was such a good dig. Like, it was like real fire, because Vince was probably laughing because everybody makes mistakes. And I think what happened was AEW got legitimately punched in the mouth the first time, I would say, when it came to a pay-per-view.
Okay.